visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back, and we go straight to the phone lines. You've been holding for quite a while. Thank you very much for holding. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Miss Undecided. I read one of your texts, but you can ask the panel the question that you want to ask them right now.
Yes, please. Good afternoon to your engineers, guests.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Yes, I want to know, because you know y'all want new ideas about the roads, so I want to know if recycled plastic is the new way to build roads now. Because like it happening in the UK and in India, so I want to hear from you all engineers. Pardon me?
I don't have any personal knowledge of or experience of recycled plastics with roads. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're referring to that. What we referred to earlier is where they're using rubber. Rubber is, you make it into crumbs, pulverize it, and then you mix it into the asphalt, and in some places you mix it into concrete.
Only it's far away.
And by doing that, you get a better life cycle use of the surface.
Well, it'd be interesting to know. You said that recycled plastics. Is this an article or some information that you've seen, perhaps, that you'd like to share with the public?
She's gone. We'll take the next call. Is Mr. Selby? I think you're an engineer as well. You're on the ear.
No, I'm an architect.
You're an architect. Okay. Yeah. How are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Okay. Join the discussion, please. The panel are all here.
Thank you. I just want to raise a question with Mr. Hutchinson in respect of putting an outfall by Graham Hall. Now, the outfall, as I understand it, was taken at the decision to put the outfall at Needham's Point was taken because of the current flows. And the argument has been put forward that an outfall being placed off of Graham Hall, that there's a likelihood of affluent coming back onto shore because of the currents we have there. Now, I do not know if Mr. Hutchinson has carried out studies to this effect or if he is aware of the studies, but I would like a comment to be made on that.
Tony, you're absolutely correct. There's always that risk. The details of the outfall I alluded to is about 800 meters long, just looking at the bathymetry of the area. But obviously, a quick model would have to be done to determine, the risk of whether it's 800, 850, or what, it has diffusers. You would take that. But what we're dealing with there is an auxiliary emergency backup outfall. We're not contemplating that be used 24/7 for 10 years. But when the challenge with the system you have there, there's no plan B. When that pipe going to the Hilton to out to the outfall is deemed to be defective or whatever, well, you have to have another option. And I'm suggesting, in that circumstance, it's not unreasonable to have an alternative outfall as an option. But
okay, just as a short-term option is what you're...
Sure. Yeah. But the requisite modeling can be done quite quickly all that area, the currents are studied, it's known, the bathymetry is known. You can easily put that into a model and have a quick output of a quick analysis of whether it needs to have 4 diffuser points, 3 diffuser, 6 diffuser ports, or whether it's 850, or if you want to be safe, put it a kilometer,
No, but I take Tony's point, I take that he is actually right that it is not as effective an outflow position as the one at the Hilton.
Correct.
But the comparison of the proposal you're making is not with the Hilton, it is with Graham Hall and with the deep injection wells. So what this temporary outflow was meant to replace the backup system, which right now is either Graham Hall swamp itself or the deep injection wells, or the road in Hastings.
Correct.
So it is in comparison to those, it is significantly better.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, Mr. Selby?
No, that was basically it, because sometimes we don't take all these facts into consideration. Mm-hmm. I mean, Andrews is undoubtedly one of the top engineers in Barbados, but I just wanted for my own information, because I would like to think that that would have been considered. I mean, it seems so obvious that that, you know, why is it not being done? And that's the only reason I can think of.
Well, it will take about 4 months. This is what Mr. Hutchinson is saying. It will take about 4 months to get that done. And
right now, we spent 2 years.
Yeah, but 4 months from 2 years ago would have been.
Well, right now, since they're dealing with everything, the injection wells are faster. They're taking what?
No, and the truth is that this was suggested after the World Cup learning moment.
Yeah.
And it was actually budgeted for and provided for and funded.
Does anyone remember how much it would cost at that time?
I don't know what budget they've had decided, but I've been asked what the outfall would cost. And based on the outfall work that we've done around Barbados on the West Coast, we estimate it would be about $6 million Barbados to put that outfall in. 700 meters long, put some anchor blocks on it, you cut a trench, you bury it so it's out of sight. $6 million.
Can I ask you a question, though, Andrew? Would there have been any consideration given to the force main, rather than duplicate going along in the tunnel with the gravity main that comes from Garrison side? Why could that not have gone out to sea and then gone along the sea to the Hilton outfall rather than through the ducting system? Because having systems going in two different directions in the same common tunnel seems to be a compromise position to me, intuitively.
Well, that would have been a decision taken when the design was being done. I thought what you were going to ask me, which is probably a better question, why did you put the 20-inch force main down in the tunnel? That 20-inch force main is being under pressure from a pump. So it could be laid in an open-cut trench 1.2 meters below ground level, so it's easily accessible, that in the event of this situation, you just take a backhoe and open it and you fix it.
But that's essentially what I was asking. The only difference is they will put it in the sea, won't they?
No, to lay along the coastline,
costs,
varying territory, property lines, the sea, the marine, that would have been very expensive.
No.
You mean out to sea?
Out to sea and along the sea.
But it's still been a significant cost.
A significant
cost. Oh, I see. More than tunnel?
All right. Yeah. We go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on the air. All right. Take this last one. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Okay. Popped out there. Now, we close at 1:15. We have 8 more minutes to go, so let's just wrap it up. You want to start you, Mr. Jones? Looking at the South Coast project again, looking at the roads, and we can touch very briefly, emphasis on briefly given our time limit, on maintenance of public property, government buildings. I know this is a bee in Mr. Andrew Hutchinson's bonnet. So, Mr. Hutchinson, we got him to go first.
You want me to go first?
Yes, talking about this aspect.
I think, again, it's a question of structure, form, management. As Trevor alluded to earlier, the same kind of challenges you have with roads and how we've been doing the same thing for the last, 40 years or 50 years. Most government departments, from my understanding, is that they don't each have their own maintenance programs in-house, so it's outsourced to some other agencies. And clearly there's a challenge in coordinating that and a challenge in the budgets. But I am a proponent of outsourcing, and I think that you could find a mechanism by which all that is outsourced. Privatize it. Tender it.
But to me, it all seems to come down to management at the end of the day.
Of course it does. Of course it does. That's where it starts.
Or I should say the lack of management. So decision making, implementation deficits, that is what the problem is.
Yeah. But I repeat the thing I said earlier. We've been doing the same thing year in, year out for many years, 50 years maybe, and we expect different results. We're not analyzing our implementation methodology.
We're not learning.
We're not learning and trying to make it better. We're just doing the same thing over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I think one of the key things I'm sure which Trevor will touch on is that we must permit the professionals within our public service, those who are deemed to be managers, to manage without the fear of political interference. you need to be able to make and know that you can make a decision without somebody calling and reneging that decision or having that decision change. If you have put persons there to manage situations, you need to make them accountable and allow them to manage situations. I mean, all we are talking about here is a lack or rather poor management. If you allow a public service to be efficient and to work effectively, I mean, I don't think that the people in the public service are alien to Barbados. They live here like the rest of us. And I think they want what is best for this nation as much of all of us do, whether public or private sector. But they need to be given that opportunity to know that when they make a decision, that that is a decision, that somebody from above is not going to, or somebody from below them is not going to make a call and have that decision change. So you need to let people manage.
Agreed. What a lot of us don't realize, and even at the engineering level, is that over the years, there have been phenomenal developments in technology in our world. It has become unbelievably complicated. Even the simplest of technologies now, you're finding their computers built into all sorts. It is really complex. And the management of those systems has become very complex. So Vincent is right. I will say that this management needs to be done by competent people. The whole question of registration, there's something called the Washington Accord that ensures that anywhere in the world, anyone who calls themselves a professional engineer needs to be properly qualified to call themselves that because of the implications for public safety, for example. So and we do have competent people in Marbella, so that is not the issue. The issue is that we need to update our system, our systems of management to accommodate this modern complex world. There need to be more inputs from our professionals. The professionals in the Ministry of Public Works, for example, in the Waterworks Department, there are professionals in there who are world-class professionals. They need to be allowed, indeed forced, to operate at world-class standards. BAP, we are taking personal offense at this. And we are going to make it our business to actually draw attention to whenever we see weaknesses and to try to address those situations. The other thing I would like to just touch on briefly with your permission is that I don't know if people noticed, but last year there were two Category 5 hurricanes in this region, as Vincent alluded to, with devastating consequences for many of the islands in the region. Now, last year, a lot of the hurricane scientists were predicting that last year would have been a normal year. There's a particular, the Global Weather Oscillations technology that was used by that organization using something they call climate pulse technology predicted almost 100% what was going to happen last year in terms of bad hurricanes. Unfortunately, for 2018, they're predicting not only a repeat, but possibly a new record year of hurricane activity because of ocean temperatures and things like that. There's potential for serious consequences to our infrastructure and all that. We cannot afford to sit around. One of the things that BAP will be doing, actually on the 20th of February, we are actually having a luncheon and a what we call the exposition at the Pomerine Hotel, where we are going to be bringing some of our engineers who were exposed to what went on in Dominica, in St. Martin, and in a lot of the countries that were impacted. We want to bring that knowledge to the professionals in Barbados, to start to prepare ourselves for the eventuality that something like this happens in Barbados. Because according to the experts who were 100% accurate last year, there's very much likelihood that it is going to be worse this year.
Wow. We frightened now.
Well, we are actually a bit frightened ourselves.
Cannot infrastructure, cannot housings, or housing take that?
This is what we're going to be talking about. But we cannot sit down and do nothing. And at the very least, we can learn from the experience of our neighbors and mitigate the extent to which there's damage and disruption. So even if there's lots of damage, how do you recover quickly after that? How do you put systems in place to get things up and going?
And the way to do that is to have a body like the one you're suggesting.
Absolutely.
That's properly funded, that the money is coming directly to them as against going to the consolidated fund.
You have intelligent systems in place. And if you look at any successful modern international business, they headhunt for their experts, the top brains, and they put them to solve these complicated problems.
Well, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the end of what I thought was a very interesting session here on BASAC Sunday. And at least we know now what we need to do. The question, however, is whether those who make the decisions, the policy decisions in our country, will even listen. Because we have a recovery plan, and there's been no consultation with the engineers whatsoever. And they're the ones who build the roads and deal with the infrastructure. No consultation. We also have a situation with the South Coast Storage Project, and you've heard some alternatives here. So workable solutions, practical solutions that they can actually cost, they are available, but will those in authority listen? That's the question. This is Sanka Price. Thank you for being a great audience. Hope to see you next time. Bye-bye.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.